Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello. Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to this podcast. In this podcast, we will be talking with Mr. Alton Johnson. He is the founder and principal security consultant at a very leading cybersecurity firm known as Bonahi Security. They're based out of Atlanta, Georgia, and they're known for building the future of offensive security through the use of automation. In cybersecurity, automation is starting to become the big thing right now, and in this podcast, it's going to be a big focus of our content. And hopefully we can get some of your questions and thoughts, you know, answered about the automation process. Alton, thank you for joining us, and thanks again so much for your time.
Absolutely. I appreciate you having me.
Yeah, we looked up your bio, and we did some snooping about you on LinkedIn and on Google, and you seem to have a very, very, you know, very deep and rich background in cybersecurity. Can you tell us some of the highlights of your career and how you got started doing, I guess, this thing called automated pen testing and how you started your company?
Yeah, absolutely. So I actually got started, I guess you could say, in ethical hacking when I was hacking when I was a little kid, back in like the ProRad and Sub-7 days. But I took my first job in offensive security as a cybersecurity consultant back in 2012, 2013. And so I spent several years working for cybersecurity consulting firms, you know, as a penetration tester, basically going on site, you know, doing the pen test engagements, doing social engineering, phishing assessments, et cetera. I've also done a lot of work for various cybersecurity consulting firms as a 1099 contractor. In addition to, you know, me working at those companies throughout those years, I've also obtained 12 certifications. The most relevant, I guess you can say, would be the ECPPT by eLearn Security. It's just a penetration testing certification. And I also have my OSCP and OSCE by Offensive Security. I got those back in, I want to say, 2015. I also have developed 3 tools and have them published in Metasploit and also 1 in Kali Linux.
Oh, wow, that's really that's a very deep. Can you tell us some about your certifications you got?
Yeah, absolutely. So, what was that?
Can you tell us a little bit more about your certifications? You said you had 12 of them, but, like, what do you have, like, a CISSP and a certified ethical hacker? Do you have anything like that, or?
No, so most of the certifications that I got in the beginning of my career were geared towards, kind of an IT role, you know, IT network administration role. I was actually going for a Microsoft certified IT professional one back a while ago. And so I guess you could say the most relevant to offensive security would be the OSCP, OSCE, and the one from eLearn Security.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, cool. Now, why did you start your own company called Bonahi Security? And another question I want to ask you is, what does Bonahi mean? Is there some special meaning behind that for cybersecurity?
Yeah, so Bonahi Security is basically, Bonahi means to pull from fire in Hungarian and Polynesian, once you do the translations. And so the reason we came up with that name is because we wanted to, you know, obviously help companies pull themselves from a vulnerable state. And so that's pretty much how we came up with the name Bonahi. And also, too, you know, when you Google Bonahi Security, right, you won't run across any other companies or a refrigerator company or nothing like that. You're going to run specifically across us. So it kind of works in our favor in that way as well.
Excellent. Okay. So why did you start your company? What was your motivating and your driving factor?
Yeah, so when I spent all of those years at other cybersecurity consulting firms, well, first of all, let me just say I'm a little bit impatient, right? When I have a solution that I could, you know, get implemented today, I kind of want to act on that. And when I was working at other cybersecurity consulting firms, you know, there were things that I identified. There were many issues that I identified that could be resolved pretty easily, right, through more efficient processes. And so other consultants also share some of the same frustrations. You know, for example, like reporting, right? We were spending, you know, 6-plus hours doing reporting, copying and pasting icons back and forward between, you know, documents and all that, looking up findings in, like, centralized repositories. And just processes like that took a really long time. And I found that to be quite unnecessary considering, you know, we're pretty close to, you know, 2020 and, you know, we're progressing as pen testers, and we should also be progressing in our processes as well to make us more efficient. And so the reason I started Vana High Security was because, you know, when you're working at a larger company, it's really sometimes it's tough to get changes, you know, implemented because it has to go through so many rounds of approval. And, you know, this person's on vacation, so they're going to come back in 2 weeks, and then they're swamped, and they never just get back to you. And so at some point, when you start to propose some changes and ways to make things better at companies, and it kind of just slipped through the cracks, you know, you start to lose a little bit of interest, right? You start to feel like your opinion doesn't really matter that much. And so for me, that was motivation for me to start Vana High Security and kind of do a lot of the things that we hated doing as consultants and kind of automate that process. And so essentially what we did to pretty much get started is to I basically documented my methodology as a consultant when I, you know, did some assessments for customers. And we went back and figured out ways to automate this entire methodology through code, right? And this is through, you know, the entire penetration testing process, you know, exploitation, gaining access to confidential data and reporting. And we've been able to trim a lot of time down from, you know, the manual tasks into a very quick and efficient automated process.
Okay, excellent. Now, there are many cybersecurity vendors out there, you know, on the East Coast, down South, West, by 2000 plus. What separates you from everybody else, especially when it comes to pen testing, vulnerability scanning? I mean, there's so many others out there, you know, that I've even talked to. What is your one differentiating factor? Or in other words, why should a customer say, hey, Alton, I want your services versus these 10 other companies?
So I think the biggest thing for us is efficiency, right? Because we're so efficient, we're able to perform the same amount of work as a consultant, but much faster. And because we're able to perfect that process, we can offer more value to the customers. So basically, we can incorporate some additional data that we're able to collect, you know, during our penetration test engagements to provide to that customer, right? I don't think customers should be paying, you know, for, you know, 10 plus hours of reporting and, you know, a bulk of time that consultants use to kind of do the same repetitive tasks each assessment. And I really think that, you know, given how fast things are moving in this industry, we should really be focused on trying to find the real issues on customers' network and not wasting, you know, 50% or 60% of that time during repetitive tasks and not providing extra value that we should be providing in this day and age. So that's really the biggest thing. And with that, you know, it's obviously the automation platform that we have with the pen test. And so vPentest is essentially, you know, again, a replication of a consultant. So rather than us having to deal with, you know, 12-week backlog, you know, we have an automated process that can do the same work as a consultant. And so now we don't have to worry about that scalability issue that a lot of traditional cybersecurity consulting firms have. So we're able to adapt to, you know, we're able to adjust. I guess you could say we can perform assessments whenever customers are ready and they don't have to wait. And we can do it much, much faster and provide a lot more value.
Gotcha. Okay. Now, who is your typical customer base? Is it, I think really anybody, any size business, whether it's the mom and pop or even the largest, the Fortune 100, could use some kind of vulnerability scan, pen test, what have you. But who is it that you're trying to target? Like, who's your typical size company or industry or vertical? Could you please give us some more details on that?
Yeah, absolutely. So for the bulk of my career, I've done a lot of assessments for customers that have to adhere to PCI compliance, which they do a penetration test once a year, and mostly in the finance industry. But as we started developing the automated platform, what we identified was that, you know, now that we've been able to automate a lot of what we used to do manually, customers who used to not be able to afford cybersecurity services, like, you know, small and medium-sized businesses, especially if they have like 25 IP addresses, right? At one point, buying a cybersecurity, you know, a penetration test would be very expensive to them. And now that we've been able to kind of automate, you know, the process of a consultant, we partner with IT service providers or managed service providers to offer penetration testing as part of their current offerings. In the past, you know, an MSP would usually get a customer who wants a penetration test done, and the MSP would essentially just outsource that to another company, right? But now we provide the MSP the ability to perform a penetration test for their customers as well without having to, you know, outsource that, or rather than the customer having to pay a huge expense Now they can do that with an MSP at a much more affordable price.
Okay. Now let's get more into the crux of, you know, what pen testing is and so forth. What is the difference between, like, the vulnerability scan, a network scan, a penetration test, and what you call a V-pen test? You know, these are all, you know, buzzwords that we hear out there, but is there any differentiating factor between all of these, and what should a customer know or a potential customer should know about these differentiations?
Yeah, absolutely. So V-pen test falls under the automation category, right? So a vulnerability scan is just a vulnerability. It's basically an assessment of the environment to identify what issues actually exist, right? So it will say, hey, the door is unlocked. And that's it. This is the potential impact of somebody walking through the door. But with a penetration test, what we're doing is we're opening up that door and we're trying to see what we can explore, right? What kind of data we can get access to demonstrate impact, right? Because just looking at vulnerabilities doesn't necessarily tell you what the real threat is, right? You have an idea, but, you know, until you see, you know, somebody gaining access to confidential data, you really don't really understand, you know, what type of issue that this can potentially cause. And so that's essentially what V-pen test is. It's automating that penetration test for companies.
Okay. Now, before we go further into the virtual penetration testing or the V-pen test, what are your general thoughts on automation in general for cybersecurity? You know, we've been hearing about this quite a bit, you know, in the last year, using artificial intelligence, machine learning to help, you know, automate the routine tasks, you know, that a pen tester, you know, usually does, you know, like the mundane tasks. And I think one area is so that, you know, the pen tester can actually be more focused on the bigger picture. What are your thoughts of automation in this realm? You know, in your area of expertise of cybersecurity as well as for penetration testing?
Yeah, absolutely. So actually, you know, just automation in general has been something that's been becoming more and more, I guess you could say, present in our industry or just in the environment in general. So, for example, I went on site to a customer and I learned that the restaurant industry had a lot more automation in it than I ever anticipated. Like, this customer had a machine that was preparing meals for different customers and, you know, the side orders. It was all automated to where, like, everything was equally, you know, prepared at the same time. And that's when it really hit me. I was like, wow, you know, this is really interesting. And, you know, automation is really something that is becoming, you know, very, very popular. And when it comes to, like, cybersecurity, you know, we mostly see automation from, like, the defensive perspective, right? Like blue teaming, you know, there's a bunch of cybersecurity vendors and products out there that are now incorporating AI into their products, but you don't necessarily see it on the offensive side, right? So you can pretty much go to any show or any event and look at, you know, the next firewall, and it's probably going to have some type of AI, you know, implemented in it. But on the offensive side, it's pretty rare. You really don't run across, you know, companies that are providing some type of automated offensive security services, per se. So I really think that it's going to take off a lot more. You know, if you ask somebody about, you know, AI, you know, 5 years ago, they'd be like, oh, yeah, that sounds cool, but, you know, yeah, no big deal. But now it's almost like you see it everywhere you go. And because we're realizing that it saves us so much time and provides so much value, I think we're going to constantly see it more and more, even in the offensive security space.
Okay. Now, can a penetration test really be, I mean, technically automated? I mean, are we talking about, like, virtual robots, like, doing the routine tasks like a blue team or red team would do? And, I mean, what's the success rate of automation? Do they provide reliable results as much as a human being could give to a client? Can you elaborate more on that, please?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's crazy because, like, if you had asked me several years ago, can we automate a network penetration test, I would have told you, you know, not really. There are a lot of things that need to be, you know, it needs to have a human being involved. You know, there's many different reasons why a pen test can't be automated. But as we started to, you know, as we started to develop the pen test and actually explore the automation space, we're realizing that pretty much anything that is, you know, data, right, which is, you know, you get data when you're doing a penetration test, can be automated, right? There's really nothing that we have come across thus far that has, you know, kind of stopped us from in our tracks, right? Pretty much anything that's text or, you know, some type of data that you're running a command and you're getting data back, that can be automated. There's really no reason why you can't. And what we constantly do too is, as we perform pen test engagements, we're constantly comparing it to the last penetration test report that the customer has received, and we're seeing that our, you know, automation is providing more and more value, and it's really exciting. So yes, it can be automated. You know, again, we'll see it more in the future, but yes, it definitely can be automated fully.
Excellent. Okay. Well, let's do a deeper dive into this V-Pen test, your virtual pen test. Now, from our previous conversations before the show, as I understand it, this is what really sets Funahai Security apart from your other competitors. And this is like your main bread and butter, and you'll be hoping will be your main crux of your offerings. Do a deep dive into this, and what will separate you from the other cybersecurity firms that are pen testing firms are trying to offer the same thing. Are you just trying to build a better mousetrap, or what you have is something that's so unique that really nobody else can replicate very easily?
So we're starting to see companies talk about it from the offensive security perspective, but they're not necessarily providing it just yet. And, you know, again, we're going to see it a lot more in the future, and we want to make sure that we're in front of the wave. You know, you have a lot of companies that are just kind of riding the wave and just kind of going with the flow, but we want to constantly improve it, make it faster, provide more value, right? Because the more data that we can get during a pen test engagement, the more information we can provide to our customers. Like, for example, something that you don't see in the traditional world is basically something that we've been able to implement, which is called an activity log, right? Because we're able to collect so much data during our penetration test engagements, we're able to now offer like activity logs, which tell customers what we did at what specific times. And now they can use that to go back to their security products and say, hey, you know, there's a password attack that was conducted at 3 o'clock yesterday. You know, did we see anything? Right. And that's something that you can't really get that from a traditional sense, because, you know, the amount of time that it would take for a consultant to document what they're doing at what specific times and even go back and look at their logs will take a long time, right? And so we're able to kind of provide that additional value to customers so that they can increase their visibility, which is something that we need nowadays in networks and network environments. So,
okay. Now, how does a virtual or automated pen test work better than a traditional networking penetration test? So, for example, suppose you tell a client, okay, well, we're going to be automating part of our test, and then we will be using other pen testers. We'll be having more of the human approach in other parts of this test. And if the customer says, well, I don't want – suppose they have some hesitation about using a automated approach. What do you tell them, or what do you explain to them how it's better in some ways than maybe using the human approach? You kind of see where I'm coming off with that?
Absolutely. Yeah, so one thing that I always try to make clear in that conversation is with the automated platform, you're getting the exact same thing and then more, right? Like, that is the goal. Like, the automation component isn't trying to do the assessment differently. It's doing the assessment the same exact way, just much faster. And so, you know, we've also talked to some cybersecurity consulting firms who were considering hiring like 10 pen testers, and they were like, hey, rather than hire 10 pen testers, let's look at this and see if maybe we can replicate what our current consultants are doing, but on a much bigger scale. And based on some of the feedback we've gotten from, you know, other consultants in this you know, that are doing pen test engagements, this is something that, you know, people have thought about. They, you know, a lot of consultants have their own little, you know, automated tools and scripts, but they just haven't really, you know, expanded on it just yet. So, you know, again, it's exactly what a traditional penetration test is, except just providing more value. So there's not going to be a loss of, like, you know, quality or anything like that. It's just the same thing that they had in the past, except faster and more information in it that they can use to improve their security posture.
Okay. Well, let's segue into that. Like you said, there's the value is just as much or even perhaps even greater. So what are the values of conducting an automated penetration test?
Yes, so one of the things is that, you know, we can offer continuous penetration test engagements, right? So companies can now do a penetration test more often rather than just, you know, once a year to meet compliance, which, you know, because it's now more affordable and continuous, they can now kind of have an up-to-date, you know, idea of what their environment looks like. For example, you know, if somebody did a penetration test in January and a 0-day comes out in February, unless that customer is running a vulnerability scan, which it may not even appear in a vulnerability scan, depending on, you know, what happened, that customer won't find out until next January, right? But now with an automated penetration test platform that's replicating a consultant, they can now be able to find that before, you know, the bad guys do. The bad guys have a whole year to find it before the next PCI pen test. So that's one of the values. And then again, you know, when it comes to the budget, right? As opposed to spending so much money on a penetration test, now they can perform, you know, more pen test engagements, more frequent for less, and they can use that budget. And we all know there's a lot of budget cuts in, you know, the cybersecurity industry. Now they can use that budget to actually allocate, you know, to allocate to more important or other components of their security program.
Okay. Well, let's do a deeper dive into some of these benefits because, you know, it's just something new, I think, that people are hearing about, and this is one of the biggest questions that they're going to be asking more. And one area I think that maybe pen testing, automated pen testing, can help solve is this workforce shortage in the cybersecurity industry. I think from the last news headlines I saw, there's like, 3 million job openings, or there's just a bunch of openings that need to be filled. And I think the part of the shortage is because, you know, companies are reluctant to hire, you know, cybersecurity workers straight out of college, or that just don't have enough experience like they're wanting. And, or, you know, the seasoned cybersecurity executives are just so burned out from what they do, like the CISO, they're leaving. So it's kind of like a vicious cycle. How can automated pen testing help overcome this vicious cycle in trying to shorten this gap in the cybersecurity workforce that we're seeing these days?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's pretty interesting because, you know, I get this question a lot on Instagram, how did you get started in cybersecurity? And they tell me, like, what they're doing, you know, whether it be school or they want to do it, you know, after they graduate high school. The biggest thing here is that a lot of cybersecurity companies, they don't really want to take the chance on, like, an intern or, like, somebody who's just getting out of college, kind of what you just mentioned. And on the other hand, they have seasoned pen testers that are getting burnt out. And, you know, two of the reasons I know for sure because of my peers is, you know, they get tired of reporting, right? It takes a long time. They just want to have fun and do the pen test and, you know, and focus on the real, the good stuff, the meat of the pen test. And then the travel, right? A lot of consulting firms, they require travel. And people get burned out from traveling, right? You know, the pen tester just had a baby, right? He doesn't want to spend, you know, 2 months away from the kid and, you know, help, you know, he wants to help out with the family a little bit more. And they get burned out. And so, you know, they end up finding other roles that are more like permanent, you know, as it relates to travel, you know, not traveling. And so you kind of have people that are getting burned out. And then you have, on the other hand, people that can't really get into the industry because they don't have the experience, or they don't know what certification they have to take, or they don't have a roadmap to getting started. And so I think automation will kind of insert itself in that area where, you know, you have the people leaving and you have the people that can't get in, and it's going to be able to provide that missing gap that, you know, that's getting larger and larger as, you know, time goes on. And also, too, you know, you have a lot more companies that are starting to learn more about cybersecurity, and so they want to be able to, you know, perform a pen test. But they can't because, you know, the company is either backlogged or, they, you know, they don't have enough resources available to do that assessment. And so the company has to go somewhere else. And so I really think that automation is going to be able to solve these challenges that we're going to, you know, that we're starting to see more and more of recently.
Okay. Now, you know, in our society here in the United States, we want, you know, everything done here and now. Obviously, you know, it doesn't matter what we're doing in our life. I know that pen testing, a good one, can take time, but how can an automated penetration test actually cut this time frame down so that a client can get the results they want quicker than probably even before? In other words, how can you shorten that time gap to what the customer really wants and address their needs?
Yeah, I think what's interesting is, you know, so when we started developing vPentest, one of the things we wanted to focus on was the final deliverable, right? You know, because I understand that when people hear automated pen test, the first thing that comes to their mind is a vulnerability assessment. And so we want to make sure that, you know, when we provide these final deliverables, that it looks pretty much exactly like a penetration test, right? It's not an output of Nessus or some pretty, you know, burp suite report, nothing like that. And, like, you know, one of the issues when it comes to the time frame is, for example, you know, I would say an average pen test is about a week, right? Maybe 2 weeks if it's a pretty big size customer and they have a lot of things that they want to have done. The reporting time, the typical turnaround time for a report is about a week and a half, right? 2 weeks max. That's what a lot of companies give their customers. Well, the reason for that is because, you know, it takes, again, you know, about 6 hours for a report to be written by a pen tester, you know, depending on how much data is being provided in that report. And then it has to go to QA, and then it goes back to the pen tester to fix a couple of grammatical issues, or he may have not, like, put the right severity icon or something like that. And these things take a really long time. Well, the good thing about the automation is that, you know, as we actually identify the issues on the customer's network, we can display that information in real time, one, in the portal, and then two, you know, once the pen test is finished, you know, we've already collected the data that we need for the report. So we've gone down from just, you know, a six-hour manual penetration test report down to, you know, just seconds and able to provide the exact same data. Yeah, it's crazy. And, wow. You know, the funny thing about that, too, is with the reporting process, just alone, just the reporting, you know, I've been constantly impressing myself because, you know, when we do these assessments and then we see the reports, you know, it spits out and it's perfectly clear. The report's, you know, perfectly fine, no issues in terms of, like, you know, misplacements of findings or lack of data. And you compare the amount of time that it took compared to traditional penetration tests, it seems unreal. It still seems unreal today, but that's reality today with automation.
Right. Well, you know, talking about, you know, C-suite and board of directors and, you know, time and all that, the other big issue is money. You know, I mean, everybody's on a budget, and the first thing that's going to come to the mind of a CEO or his board of directors or her board of directors is, okay, we're going to invest all this money into doing a pen test, but now how can an automated penetration test save me money? Because when people think of automation, they think, okay, it's going to cost lower because there's not going to be as much human intervention involved or human capital involved. So does a V-pen test or an automated pen test actually save money? And do you have proven metrics as to how much money it can save a business if they utilize your services?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's definitely going to save them money because there's not a human being that's traveling, right? I know traditionally a lot of times, you know, consultants travel on Monday and Friday, right? So not only does the company that you're doing the work for have to pay for travel, right, airfare, hotel, rental car, you know, food, gas, parking, not only are they spending more money on Monday and Friday for the travel, but then they're only getting the value of a consultant from Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Right. So now just 3 days a week. But if you consider automation and you implement these, you know, remote solutions in your environment, you're not paying for travel. Right. You're not paying the labor for a physical person to actually do the assessment, and you're getting it faster. So there are many ways that you can save, like, you know, a lot more money doing an automated penetration test compared to a traditional assessment. And, you know, again, when it comes to even just reporting, I like to use the example of reporting just because I know most consultants are familiar with this, the frustrations of reporting, right? Rather than billing, you know, another 10 hours plus to a company, right, you don't have to pay for that extra, you know, however many dollars and hundreds of dollars an hour for just even a report, let alone the assessment. So it's a lot of money that can be saved. Like, for example, we can provide 12 pen test engagements for the price of one and still provide the same value.
Oh, wow.
Just pretty crazy.
Wow. Okay. Well, if it's not confidential information that you can't share, but I was wondering, do you have, like, an actual dollar amount that you have saved a customer, or a general range that you've saved a customer versus doing a manual pen test?
So I guess as a consultant, we didn't really get a lot of information on our proposals. Like, so we basically just got, like, just pay, you need to do this, and not necessarily how much it's going to cost. But for example, if a company is paying, you know, I don't know, I think a good estimate would be if they're paying like $15,000 for an assessment, you know, which obviously, you know, this is not permanent or nothing like that. It's just kind of a rough estimate. It would probably spend about half of that, you know, depending on the scope and what they want with their environment. Or it'll definitely be probably half, if not less, which is, again, still a little bit unrealistic. But, you know, we've been able to prove that. So it's pretty interesting.
Okay. Now, we know in order to, you know, the cybersecurity threat landscapes are really like a cat and mouse game, you know, in which the and a company's a mouse and the cyber attacker's a cat, and the, you know, mouse is always trying to stay, you know, three steps ahead of the cat. And pen testing, you know, whether it's, you know, automated or manual or what have you, is probably one of the best ways, I think, to for an organization to really, you know, beef up their lines of defenses. And in the podcast I've had, and I'm also a firm believer that I believe that should be done on a regular basis, but that's subjective to what the client wants and what their budget is. But can an automated penetration test or V-pen test allow for an organization to continuously monitor their environment on a 24/7/365 basis? So, for example, I normally said, okay, a company should do a pen test at least on a quarterly basis, but that's assuming you're going to have a blue team, red team, purple team, what have you. But if you take the automated approach, can this be done, like, on a real-time basis, day in, day out, and providing real, you know, output to the IT security staff, the organization question?
Yeah, absolutely. And see, that's also one of the other benefits to automation, right? You know, just imagine how much money it would cost to have a human consultant to perform a pen test daily. Like, it's probably not even affordable. You know, I don't even know about imagining it, you know. But, yes, it can, because, again, it's automated. And the good thing is that, you know, with automation, you know, you can provide valuable data to that blue team or that security team about what's being found in real time. So, yes, that can definitely happen. It's something, you know, we can provide, like right now, we can actually perform a pen test. We have it set in the platform to do like quarterly, monthly, you know, biannually, or just yearly. You know, and of course it can be done more frequent. You know, it just really depends on the size of the environment, right? Because even, you know, a host discovery scan could potentially take hours, you know, depending on how many IP addresses you're scanning. So it can definitely be performed much more often than a traditional penetration test and still provide a lot of value to the blue team. Absolutely.
Excellent. Now, we know that, you know, as cybersecurity professionals, compliance, you know, the GDPR and the recently passed CCPA are now big hot button issues in cybersecurity, and companies need to come into compliance. If not, you know, they face, you know, huge fines and penalties and so forth. Now, how can a V-pen test or automated pen test help, like, company XYZ come into compliance with these legislations so they don't have to be audited or pay any fines or penalties? Can you go into further detail on this and give any examples that you can provide that you've actually helped a client come into compliance with these regulations?
Yeah, absolutely. So I know, at least from my personal experience working, you know, for customers that do PCI assessments, one of the things is that, you know, they have to do it once a year, obviously, but sometimes they may not be ready to do it until closer towards the end of the year. And so for me as a consultant in the past, you know, we would be really, really, really busy in Q4 of the year, right? Everyone's traveling. Everyone's just like, just hammered and just slammed with like just engagement. And, you know, and as a result of that, you know, some customers don't meet compliance or they can't have a pen test done in a reasonable time frame. And so I do think that automation is something that can help solve that problem as well, because now they can have a pen test done whenever they want, right? If they want a pen test done tomorrow, they can get started tomorrow. We don't have to coordinate and figure out who's available next week or anything like that, you know? And so the good thing too is that, you know, as we start to progress in automation in the offensive security space, you know, we can incorporate we actually have incorporated, you know, ways for customers to identify if any of the findings that that are discovered could potentially cause a problem with PCI. So, for example, if they're performing a penetration test and they want to do segmentation testing and they identify that there are insecure protocols that are exposed in the CDE, the cardholder data environment, they can identify that without having to, you know, coordinate that with a consultant and you know, and have it done, you know, 2-3 weeks down the road. So and we can identify, hey, this system you marked as, you know, a system that's in the CDE, and we can see these ports open. So this could potentially cause an issue if you're trying to be compliant because, you know, you're not supposed to allow insecure protocols into the CDE, especially from an out-of-scope network. And so they can identify that much faster and remediate those issues before they get audited and have more issues.
Okay, well, do you think automated penetration testing is going to be the way of the future, like people are predicting AI is going to be like the way of the future? Or in other words, what do you think the adoption rate of automated pen testing is going to be by companies? Will they still want the human element in there, or do you think they're going to feel comfortable going 100% automation?
So this is interesting because, you know, for the longest, you know, I think a lot of people, and even in other industries, thought that automation wouldn't be something major because of customer service, right? And I can get that. I understand that to a certain extent. But we've seen, you know, like major banks, you know, drop their tellers and their customer service representatives and replace them with like just a box, right, of, you know, just providing automated services to their customers to provide more efficiency. And so I think that as the world starts to become more, start to see more automated, you know, services and technology and products and things like that, we're going to stop caring. And this is just my personal opinion. I think we're going to start to adapt to the new world of automation more and more because we're going to start seeing the value that it provides, right? Like no one wants to deal with Bob who just had a divorce last week and he's mad now, and so his pen test is going to be kind of sloppy, right? And so I think this is going to become like the new norm. And also, too, given that, you know, again, there are people who are leaving the industry, people can't get in the industry, it's something that I think more cybersecurity consulting firms are going to be looking at as well in the next few years to kind of make up for that.
Okay. Now, another question I want to ask you, and I think a potential client could probably even very well ask you too. How is a virtual or automated penetration test deployed? When you say automated virtual, the first thoughts are using the cloud, right? You know, like an AWS mm-hmm. approach or Azure approach. Is this 100% cloud available, or does it have to be deployed on-prem, or can it take a combination of both?
Actually, a combination of both. So you have an external network penetration test, which is performed from the public internet, right? You just basically sit at home or from a remote office or wherever, and you try to get access to the company's confidential data from the external environment. And so when it comes to automation, you know, we actually spin up a virtual machine, which basically has Kali Linux on it, which is, you know, a penetration testing Linux distribution, which is with a bunch of penetration testing tools. So from the external network penetration tests, you know, we can actually just launch that today. But when it comes to the internal environment, the company does have to have something deployed within the environment. Now, the first thing that we recommend, and I'm sure probably most consultants would recommend, is a virtual machine, right? And basically, that virtual machine would tie back to that customer's instance in the cloud, and they would be able to kind of coordinate, you know, exchange data back and forward. But the other options are, you know, physical appliance, you know, USB drives with like a live bootable image of Kali on it. But I guess the only problem when it comes to deploying internal hardware is it becomes a hardware issue, like an inventory problem, right? You have to start managing who has what device for how long. Will they need it next week or next month? If, you know, is the contract ongoing? And it becomes a huge problem. So because VMs can be, you know, scalable to unlimited amounts of VMs, we do provide that option for remote internal penetration test engagements.
Okay. Now, it seems like, you know, you got a new offering that's on the cusp of really exploding. And, you know, whenever there's something new that's coming out in industry or, you know, commerce in general, the cyber attacker is always going to try to attack it because he or she will be thinking, oh, this is something new. It's probably not completely tested, you know, for any vulnerabilities or any gaps. One thing I want to ask you is, have you tested your service for any gaps or vulnerabilities in of itself? Is it 100% hacker-proof, or what kind of security tests have you done to it to ensure clients that, you know, they can't get hacked through your services? You see what I'm saying?
Yep, absolutely. So, you know, I guess the cool thing about having a background in consulting and you know, ethical hacking, and then running a platform that, you know, incorporates this type of functionality, is we know attackers are going to come after us. We know it. It's inevitable, right? They're going to try, no matter what we do or how we try to say we're secure, they're going to try. And we've actually deployed some honeypots around the environment, the infrastructure, and because we know people are going to try, right? We know people are going to try to go to /administrator to see, you know, if there's an administrator login page, right? They're going to get banned. There's going to be people looking at cookies and seeing if there's anything in the cookies, right? So we have different things kind of deployed around the environment to hopefully, you know, lure the bad guys in and, you know, kind of kick them out before they can start to really start poking around. And then we also have, like, a bunch of filters so that, you know, anybody who tries to do, like, you know, certain types of things will basically get blocked as well. Just because, you know, and someone asked me a while ago, well, what if you block out, you know, legitimate customers or legitimate people? And the thing is, like, a legitimate customer or someone who's using the product as it should be used, they're not going to try inserting semicolons, you know, in the URL and, you know, five times, right? So there's different ways we can identify if something is potentially malicious or not. And then also, too, when it comes to the customer's data, you know, again, we know attackers are going to try. You know, we know there's going to be some zero day that comes out at some point that could potentially affect, you know, whatever infrastructure, wherever it's hosted, whatever. And so what we try to do to limit our attack surface in that area is we actually only keep the data for the duration of the penetration test, right? So at any given point, like if we have 50 customers, 100 customers, that platform won't have the data for all of those customers in there. It could perhaps be empty if there's nothing going on at the moment. And so we want to keep that, you know, keep it limited so where, like, if something ever happened or whatever the case is in the future, we don't have to worry about, you know, exposing all of this data. And then also, too, you know, the amount of stuff that we collect and we report on, we try to just have that information in the report so the customer never needs access to the portal to even begin with. So once we produce that final deliverable, it should have every single thing that they need to where we don't have to store anything because whatever questions they have is going to be in the report.
Okay, excellent. Now, what kind of technological architecture do you use for your VPN test services? Do you use the AWS? Do you use Azure, Google Cloud? What do you use exactly? How is it like exactly set up from a technical configuration?
Yeah, so we actually use DigitalOcean for several of the components for VPN tests. And then we're also talking to some providers as well to perhaps migrate some of that into a different platform, and then also incorporate some additional automation to even what we're doing now to kind of scale it a little bit faster and quicker for customers. But yeah, we currently leverage DigitalOcean and AWS.
Okay, excellent. Now, have you ever had a client or a potential client, they kind of give you pushback and they say, well, I'm kind of old school. I don't like automation. I want the human element involved. Have you ever dealt with any resistance like that? Because I know automation, it's a big buzzword, as I've said before, but yet when it comes to actually implementing it, people could give real pushback on that too because they just don't trust that level of automation because for them it's still something new. Have you ever encountered that with a potential prospect or customer? And if so, how have you resolved it?
Yeah, so I know you mentioned buzzword, and I have to definitely agree with that. You know, when it comes to automation, AI, machine learning, you know, a lot of individuals, they're just kind of, you know, it's like, oh, it's automation, another automated tool, right? Another product that's just doing something very simple and calls themselves automated. And then, you know, knock on wood, we haven't had any customers that were resistant to us providing an automated service. The only pushback we've had so far was, and this is definitely understandable, is a few people have said, well, and even on Reddit, right, we've had a guy who commented and said, oh, it's just a vulnerability scanner, right, because it's new, right? You don't see a lot of companies offering automated penetration testing services. And the few that, you know, you may have run across in the past were probably just Nessus, Burp Suite, Nick2, and a combination of a few tools that are producing reports, and then they're just rebranding the reports. And so one thing I like to always, you know, provide out there for them is, well, I definitely understand your concerns, and one thing that I love to do, and I love the reaction, is I like to have them to perform just a small pen test using VPen test and compare it to the last report, right? That will eliminate all, you know, craziness or, you know, manipulation if they think that that's what's going on. Like, once they see the actual product run itself, that pretty much tells the story for itself. It sells itself at that point because they can see that, you know, compared to the however much money that they spent on the last pen test report, it's doing the exact same thing and then more. So, knock on wood, that's been the response so far.
Okay, well, what are other value propositions with a VPen test versus a traditional network pen testing? You know, we've elaborated some key benefits, but what are the other, like, maybe not so well-known or made public, you know, other value propositions that you would tell a customer about automated pen testing?
Yeah, so I think the biggest thing is being able to see what's going on within their environment in real time, right? That's really the biggest thing because, you know, customers want to know, you know, what's happening on their environment, right? What's happening within their environment. And so because we're able to automate that, you know, the pen test engagement, we're able to kind of provide that information up front. And we've helped customers identify, you know,
hello. 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 Hello, Alton.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Okay. Yeah, so I think we got a little bit cut off there for some reason. But, yeah, the question was, like, what are the other value propositions of VPen testing that you have not covered yet?
I think those are the biggest things, you know, basically the continuous factor, right? They can do a pen test whenever they want. They can save money and still get the same value without, you know, sacrificing quality. It's also much faster, right? So they don't have to wait until, you know, 3 or 4 weeks on the road. And they're pretty much in control of their pen tests. They don't have to rely on, you know, backlogs or anything like that or inexperienced consultants. So I think those are probably the most important things that customers can consider when they're looking to do an automated assessment such as this one.
Okay, excellent. Now, do you have any customer success stories that you'd like to share with us? Now, we've talked about, you know, how the customer would approach you, but now what have they thought of your services? And do you have any case studies that you'd like to share with us?
So we actually do have a few case studies, and we're actually working on more, you know, as we kind of make our way through the industry, you know, with the automated service. And basically, you know, the biggest thing that we've been able to kind of identify is that, you know, customers love how fast it is, right? That's been the I guess you could say the biggest work to come back from customers is, I can't believe it ran that fast. And I can't believe that, it looks just like, because before we started developing the pen test, we did like manual penetration testing as well. And so now we're able to kind of replicate that in an automated fashion. So, and then also too, you know, it's really just one of the feedback we've also gotten too was just how much information we're able to provide them in a report, which I love because, you know, I get a little bored with things being the same, right? You know, the report looks the same for many years, and it's nice to be able to incorporate more information to provide that data to these customers. And so they're recognizing that as well.
Okay. Before a customer is onboarded, like on a regular basis or before they become a paying customer, do you offer any free trials or assessments to prospects and potential customers to try out your services before you, you know, take them up to the next level in order to kind of see for real how well this thing works?
Yeah, absolutely. And as a matter of fact, we do a lot of these live test scenarios for MSPs. Basically, you know, they want to see how VPen test kind of matches up to the guy that they use in the past for their customers' pen test engagements. And so we do a limit. It's basically limited by IP addresses. You know, we can't do a 30-day trial, right, because we could do a pen test of thousands of IP addresses, a full-blown pen test engagement, and within 30 days really easily and provide a lot of value with that. But we do provide a limited IP address pen test just so that people can really understand how it works, see that it provides, you know, value, and see that it's not a vulnerability assessment. So we do provide that option.
Okay. Now, obviously you're expanding your business with this VPN testing service, but are there other avenues that you're looking at for expansion, or are you just are you going to expand the VPN testing into different avenues, like into different sub-segments or subsets of that? Can you please explain that, or are you going to enter more geographic markets?
Yes, so in terms of expansion, we do have some free tools as well. One is called Internet Exposure Scout. So one thing we want to be able to provide is for customers, or actually we're providing it now, just kind of working on expanding that a little bit more, is, you know, a customer can just sign up and just see, you know, what their network environment looks like from the public Internet, right? So without doing a full pen test, right, and they just want to know what's on the Internet that an attacker could potentially use to target my organization, they can do that for free. They don't have to worry about no salesperson following up and spamming them, nothing like that, or calling them and ringing their phones off the hook. They can do that free whenever they want and just kind of keep an idea of what their external presence look like. And as far as, like, additional expansion, you know, we really want to kind of incorporate more information in our pen test engagements. There's just so much more opportunity there that we could capitalize on that would cost a ton of hours from a manual perspective. So we want to make sure that we can kind of provide more value to customers. And then we also want to incorporate some additional frameworks too. So right now, you know, we can do a good bit of, like, assessments that are kind of that incorporate PCI, but then we also want to look at some additional frameworks too, and also tie, like, MITRE framework in there as well to kind of provide some additional value. But we definitely want to, you know, continue to expand on the pen testing area.
Excellent. Now, one more question as it regards to your company. Do you depend on a value-added reseller or partner approach to help you leverage your channel out to new customers and new prospects?
So we're actually currently working with two MSPs at the moment about that. You know, so we're currently in that process to kind of, you know, we're talking about the numbers and all of that, the entire agreement, just to figure out how that looks. But, yes, we do also partner with MSPs and value, you know, VARs to resell the pen tests.
Yeah. Okay, excellent. Now, let's as we approach the last part of our show here, let's segue now into the cybersecurity threat landscape in general. There are four or five key hot button issues, and one of them right now is, like, the C-suite. Okay, you know, C levels mm-hmm. need to be held accountable. You know, like CISO or the CIO, they need to be held accountable. You know, their company is hit by cyber attack. The first knee-jerk reaction is to fire them. My belief and my attitude is that, you know, you should take a holistic approach, see what happened, and then lay point fingers. What are your thoughts in holding C-suite more accountable, like the CIO and CISOs, for protecting their companies? Does the, in other words, the buck stop with them, or do you think everybody has to take their own part in protecting their company and IP assets?
Yeah, it's been that's been, like, a very hot topic, I would say, in the last, you know, year, especially, you know, last few years, actually, especially because of large data breaches, and, you know, you hear of the CISO being fired, and, you know, it's. I think it really just depends on the scenario itself, right? Like, what happened? You know, is the CISO doing what he's supposed to be doing? Does he have the budget to even, you know, protect the organization like he should? Because that's obviously been a big issue as well, where CISOs have their budgets cut, and then now, you know, they have to work on a limited budget, and then something happens, and, you know, they get kicked out just for the company to look good for, you know, I guess you could say, quote unquote, taking care of the problem. So. I do think that it's just a combination of also, you know, just the people under the CISO kind of doing their job as well. So it's really hard to dive into specifics about what should happen, just because it really just depends on the scenario. But I do think that if the CISO is doing what he's supposed to be doing, he's trying what he should be, you know, he's trying what he should be trying, and using a budget, you know, based on the top priority items in the organization, then I don't think they should be. Guess you could say fired.
Right. Okay. Well, that's an interesting perspective. Now, not to get political here, but, you know, we keep hearing about nation-state threat actors, you know, like North Korea, Russia, you know, blah, 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 China. Now, we've got the presidential elections coming up in November, and, of course, there's already talk since, like, last year about how to make these elections more secure. One issue is the use of deep fakes. So, for example, like, we use the artificial intelligence tools, a cyber attacker can emulate a real impersonate Bernie Sanders, for example, using AI, but use that to actually guide the voter to donate to a spoofed website. Okay, you see what I'm saying? So, for example, yeah, you get the real Bernie Sanders, but then using artificial intelligence, they kind of create a replica of that to ask for donations, but instead of going to the real political cause, it's going to an offshore bank account somewhere in China. This is called deepfakes. What are your thoughts on that? Have you addressed that issue in your cybersecurity experience or with your business right now?
To be perfectly honest, we haven't run across many scenarios where that has come up as a concern for many organizations. I think we'll probably start to see more of that from a consulting perspective. I think more as more companies kind of incorporate biometrics. But personally, I haven't run across any of those topics or conversations just yet with any customers that were concerned about that. So.
Okay, excellent. Now, AI is something I've hit upon a little bit, quite a bit on the show. Are you planning to make use of artificial intelligence technologies in your VPN testing platforms like machine learning or computer vision or neural networks?
Yeah, absolutely. And we actually talked to another company, too, a few months ago about incorporating some of their technologies within VPN test, too, because they provide, you know, AI solutions for a lot of technology companies. And it's something that we'll definitely look into in the future. You know, right now we're really just focused on kind of replicating, you know, the consultant in the best way possible. And, we would like to incorporate some of that as well when it comes to, like, doing info gathering, right? So, you know, could we potentially find information about this particular C-level executive that could be useful for a phishing attack or something like that? Or, you know, could we perhaps find his password, you know, based on some of the stuff he's been posting on social media? So, you know, we haven't incorporated, any advanced AI technology just yet, but that's something that we would definitely like to expand on as we start to, I guess you could say, mature in the marketplace.
Sure.
In the market.
Another big buzzword, Alton, is cybersecurity insurance policies. Have any of your clients, have they asked you if your services are covered by their cybersecurity insurance policies? And if so, what do you tell them?
We actually haven't. And it's also been interesting, too, because I've seen companies that they just purchase cybersecurity insurance and they just kind of sit still and wait to get hacked. And it's been happening, I guess you could say, more and more often lately. And we haven't been questioned yet if our services are, you know, meet their cybersecurity insurance policies just yet. But I think we'll probably start to see that more too, especially because of, you know, companies who do have cybersecurity insurance, they get breached and then they don't get covered, and then they're curious to know why. So I think over time we'll start to see more companies kind of, you know, learn more about their cybersecurity insurance policy rather than just buying it and just kind of hoping that it saves them from an attack in the future. But yeah, so far we haven't really gotten that too much yet.
Okay. Well, in this regard, the last question I'm going to ask you is the Internet of Things or IoT.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to me, that's kind of a very scary proposition where everything's all interconnected together because that just increases the attack surface for the hacker. But in a way, also that kind of increases, you know, more, you know, I guess in a loose way, more business for you because then you can use your automated pen testing services to, you know, pen test those areas of interconnectedness in more detail. Have you come across anything with the IoT and your services? And, like, what are your thoughts on the IoT in general? Do you have a smart car or a smart home or anything like that? Or
so most of the customers we've dealt with haven't necessarily wanted to do anything like specifically around IoT, but it's kind of crazy because even though I work in this industry and I know the risks, I love that, right? My smart home, I would love to have, like, you know, the smartest home of the smartest homes, right?
Oh, wow.
Just because, you know, I love the convenience, right? And I understand the risk and all that, but I do also think that a lot of things just kind of, and it's a little bit different too coming from the ethical hacking side of things or attack and penetration, because you know we know exactly what are some of the most common best practices to kind of secure those devices. You know, weak passwords, right? Seeing if they're on, if they're exposed to the cloud or if they're exposed to the internet, and if they need to be. So we know how to check certain things. So we know how to not necessarily remove risk, but at least reduce it to a minimal. I love IoT. I love having like a smart thermostat and lights and all that stuff. So, much as I know there's risk involved, I love it. So.
Cool. Awesome. Okay. Now, how do you, now, I know we're going to be wrapping up Q1 here pretty soon of 2020. For the rest of this year and even for the rest of this decade, for that matter, how do you foresee the cyber threat landscape changing, evolving? And what do you think the biggest cyber threat's going to be? I mean, I've had people say everything from ransomware to phishing to, you know, this thing called deepfakes. I think, I think the next one's going to be on critical infrastructure, like in our gas and water pipelines. What are your thoughts in this area?
To be honest, I really think that phishing is something that's just going to just keep happening, you know. Like, it's crazy because, you know, there are companies nowadays that will provide phishing assessments for customers at nearly a free, you know, no cost, and they're very effective. I mean, they're very, you know, good at what they do in terms of, like, having a bunch of content, things like that, and testing employees. But, just, you know, I think it's just something that's just never going to go away. I think we could provide phishing training to everyone, and at some point they're still going to be vulnerable. But at least when it comes to other areas and, you know, technology, there are things we can do to kind of reduce, you know, impact, things like that. But I really think that everything is, I think a lot of things that go on in terms of attacks are still going to originate from a phishing email or text message at the starting point.
So you basically take the premise that, you know, just the new threat variants are just going to come from the old ones, basically, right? So, like, we'll see new threat vectors, but they're actually going to just – there's not another way – there's another form of a brand new phishing attack, right?
Exactly. Yep.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. Now, one area I was going to ask you is we never really asked this before, but offensive security versus defensive security, okay? What's the difference between the two, and how do you help clients differentiate the two, and how do you help them, I guess, protect themselves from both or one or the other?
Yeah, so I know the first thing when somebody gets attacked is to throw up a shield, right? Just buy all the products, hope that it solves the problem, hope that it stops all the bad guys. But I think the more appropriate response is to evaluate what their environment looks like, right? There's in this cybersecurity framework, and you can't, you know, just buy products and hope to defend your network if you don't know what the issues are, right? We see it all the time. Actually, we go on site, we do these assessments, or remote assessments or whatever, and we still find all these issues. And then customers, you know, some customers are confused as to, you know, how we found this or how we found that and didn't realize that it's because of configuration issues. So I think that it's important for companies to, you know, evaluate their environment before they, you know, start just, you know, buying products. But they also should test their products as well, too, and not just hope for the best and wait for an attack. So that's where offensive security, you know, comes in at. In fact, we had one customer who was they had been breached in the past, and their response was just to, you know, look at all of these vendors to figure out, you know, who can protect them the most. And even though they had some controls in place, you know, once we got in and we started doing like a little bit of a light pen test, we identified that their controls weren't implemented properly. So I really think that, you know, you have to, you know, I would definitely suggest following this cybersecurity framework. You know, understand your environment first, and then, you know, start to put in these defenses, and then test them, most importantly.
Okay. Well, I think there's also, in this regard, there's a fundamental shift, I think, with the C-suite now, the CIO and the CISO. Their mentality used to be, okay, let's throw out 10 firewalls in hopes of protecting our company, but now I think they're starting to realize, ooh, we need to do a risk assessment to see where we can strategically place maybe just two or three firewalls that can provide the same amount or even better levels of protection. So in other words, the old proverbial term of safety numbers may not be ringing true so much in cybersecurity versus more than smart planning. So anyway, well, Alton, as we wrap up our show now, I just want to ask you one last question. It's probably the $60,000 question I ask of every guest at the end of every show. What do you tell people or businesses that your top laundry list of how they can do, what they can do to protect themselves from being a victim? Now, obviously, any individual, any business is at risk for being a victim. Nobody's immune. But the important thing is, okay, you've realized you've become a victim. What can you do proactively and quickly to help resolve it so that no further damage is done? What do you tell people?
So I think the biggest thing to help and prevent something, you know, tragic from happening in the cyber world is mostly, I would say the biggest thing is just awareness, right? Be aware of what you're doing, right? If you got a new phone and you set up a password, think about, you know, what you're configuring. Think about the password that you're using. And, you know, it's not to say that, you know, you should think about cybersecurity all day, every day, but when you start to, like, you know, incorporate new, you know, configurations or new products, new technology, you know, whether it be a phone, watch, whenever you're configuring things, especially these things that revolve around security, you know, think twice. You know, and it's interesting too, because I have friends that I've discovered have like weak passwords, and it's, you know, and you know, like password one, they may use password one, or their PIN, you know, on their phone maybe 0000. And so I think it's really mostly just awareness, just being aware of what you're doing and understanding that, you know, whatever password, PIN, or configuration that you may make could potentially affect the security of something, you know, within your infrastructure or you as a person. So I think awareness is the biggest thing.
Okay. Well, Alton, we thank you very much for your time. You know, it's been a pleasure speaking with you, and we hope to have you on a future podcast. I'm excited to see about this, you know, automated penetration service testing is really take off, and I think it could be the way of the future coming here in this year and into this decade. Once again, thanks for your time, okay?
Absolutely. Sounds good. I really appreciate you having me.
Thank you. Take care. Have a great day.
You too. Bye.